Cass, we're up to Pasuk, middle of Pasuk. We started Pasuk Dal. Let's review Pasuk Dal. Lo yisku l'Hashem yayin v'lo yervu loy. So Hashem says that you're no longer going to pour to Hashem yayin. Okay, this is page 130, Perek Tes, Pasuk Dal. Perek Tes, Pasuk Dal. Lo yisku l'Hashem yayin v'lo yervu loy zivchehem. No longer will you pour to Hashem yayin, and your sacrifices will no longer be pleasant to Hashem. Kilechem oinim lohem. Now oinim means avelus. The way we translated yesterday means bread of mourning, and the way the Mitzudo says it doesn't really mean mourning. It means gezel.
Yeah.
Okay, oinim means like power, like.
To
overcome force. A person, harm, force.
Yeah.
So, but then the others say it means bread, mourner's bread, like lashon of an oinain. Question is oinain. What is the shorish?
I'm just joking.
Maybe in RJJ you can get away with it. No,
right.
Okay,
go ahead. That's the period before the Leviathan.
The period before the what?
The period before the
Leviathan. Aninus.
Yeah.
Mourner's bread. So therefore, what's the point? The point is that the mourner, an onain, is in contact with the dead. That is why there is aninus. The reason why there is aninus is because during that time period, he's part of all mitzvahs. Why? Because he's busy. Chazal wanted to make sure that he occupies himself with the most important mitzvah of burying the dead. And that's why today, you know, there's a very big debate among the Pesachim. Today, why should there be aninus today? Because today, we live in a world where there are chapels. In the modern world, No one buries the dead. In the modern world, you're not even allowed to. You have a service. You have to have a license. You have to have a chapel who takes care of the dead, and there's a cemetery, and there's the unions, and there's a whole system in place. So today, Moshe is very into this. Moshe says that today the laws of Aninus are much more relaxed. And like, let's say you're out of town. Let's say Rachmanos on a person. The person has a relative, and the relative is out of town. So you're in Florida, and the other is New York, and you have family in New York. Is it really mutul upon you? Is it really upon you the obligation to go bury the dead? In the modern world, it's not really in your hands. If you're living in Florida and you have the relative, you have relatives living in New York, and there's a chapel and there's a whole process. So, if Chazal were living today, would they have gone and established laws of aninus the way they established them in their times? Because in their times, when a person died, there was no chapel, there was no funeral
really
director. You had to take care. You had to get relatives besastic with your hands and do the tire yourself and put on the tachrichim. If you were tachrichim, what? And dig a grave. Go. No machines, no tractors, no techniques, and it was a big deal. And you don't bury the dead, and you have to go bury it out of the field, and it's a big deal. So then Chazal says, listen, there's nothing that's more important than doing this. And therefore, you're exempt from every mitzvah in the world. Today, if Chazal were living today, and they were coming first to establish the halacha today, would they do that? It's not likely they would go to such an extreme. It's not likely. So Rav Moshe though says, halacha doesn't change because society has changed. But he does use, I don't remember all the details, there are many instances where he says that a person is not, I think like we're out of town. I think, he says this is a tremendous chiddush. I don't know if the Olam is follows this, is Pesach Halacha, but I don't remember the details, but he has chiddush that if you're not in town, and you are in one part of the world, and the mace is another part of the world, and you have relatives in that part of the world that are busy, then he says chiddush that of the laws of Aninus don't necessarily apply to you. And you have an obligation to daven, do mitzvahs, do things like that. I don't know the exact details. I don't know if Nohalach Lamaisa, the Olam is Makabal, what he says.
No, I had in the early 60s, my aunt's brother-in-law, in other words, his uncle by marriage over there, he was a big couple calling this guy, and everybody, when his mother passed away, I still remember, he came to shul in the morning,
okay.
Put on his tefillin, and everybody looked at him and said, Rabbi Yitzchak, what are you doing? And he said, I'm put on film every day in my life, and I'm putting it on today.
Yeah, well, this I was going to say.
And everybody was looking at me and said, what do I got to get? Two very grown sons who are handling everything. And he said, I'm sorry, I'm putting on film. And I'm davening with a minion, and that's it.
What about
that's what he said.
People that
and everybody thought he was crazy.
Well, Tillin is
what
of the
about
rising.
The people who actually do the burial well, service and
it was before
from
a couple of
days
before
the day they're Potter from Davening?
Technically, they are. Technically, they really are Potter. Because the Chevra Kadisha.
Yeah.
The Chevra Kadisha technically is Potter from Davening. If they are, like, that's what they do, their Parnasa. And it requires them to be on duty, to mamish, be busy with the dead from Alois HaShachar until the Zman Tefillah, past the Zman Tefillah, 11, 12 o'clock, they're Potter from Davening. Because the mamish being Oisek be mitzvah, part of a mitzvah.
So I always answer these questions right, like that. The same ships. Thing with being Shalom Eishiv between Krokim by Kirchma. Well, if the Torah says that you can't have proper, because you need to concentrate, but you need to have a certain kavana when you're davening, if the Torah says you can, then if you think you can, you don't have kavana when you daven, and you never do. And you don't understand what it means to have kavana in the first place.
That's the sugi of a wedding. A chasson is part of from Kriya Shema.
No. So my if we say you can't put on film because you can't daven with the right kavana, then you better listen. Otherwise, that's my attitude.
But you could
then you don't understand what it means to have the right kavana. Period.
Wait, right. Noyeg, not to put on film the first day of...
It's not noyeg, it's the halacha. Allah is a gzeres hakasim. Gzeres hakasim is the achrisa. Hashem said, "Yecheskel pe'erecha chavush olecha." That you, Yecheskel, are the exception. Your tefillin shall remain on your head, even though your wife has died. And from that, Chazal learned they derive that everyone else. Al pi halacha, gzeres hakasav is mechuyev and is not allowed to wear tefillin on the yoyim hamisa.
Yeah, you know, technically, you could be right that you know you're off the hook as far as you know mitzvahs are concerned, even if you're far away. But psychologically, you know, you don't want to be you want to be part of the family as well.
You want to be mishtatef in the tzar.
Exactly.
Correct. But. Look, let me. Here's a problem with that. The problem with that is what about Shabbos and Yom Tov? Shabbos, let's say a person, Rachman al-Islam, dies Erev Shabbos, or dies on Shabbos. The Ovel is chayiv to die, everything.
So are all the Krokim.
Right. Well, they're all chayiv. So how could you be in the frame of mind, how can you, when this tragedy has happened...
I know, but distance is not a factor. Because
they're also obligated. So he's saying to be mishtatef in their pain. Yeah. He's saying he's going to be mishtatef. So Chazal said, don't do any mitzvah, so you should be mishtatef in their pain. Okay, I hear what you're saying. I hear. Rav Moshe, I don't know the details. All I remember very clearly is he has chidushim, very fascinating chidushim, based upon the principle. And he has a lot of chidushim on miso. Like, for example, halonis hames. Rav Moshe has known that today there's refrigeration. The only reason why Chazal instituted this din of the Torah even says le'solin devlasai is because the body decays.
Right.
It decays. It's nivul hames. Today right. There is no nivul hames. Today there's refrigeration. When in the hospitals and in the morgues they have refrigeration, so there's less of nivul hames. And Moshe held that it's not a priority that the body should be buried immediately. And if there's going to be more honor given to the mace if you're going to delay the funeral. And Yom Tov Sheni, that's Rav Moshe, so Yom Tov Sheni says, Beferish and Shulchan Aruch, you're allowed to bury the dead on the second day of Yom Tov in Chutz Li'aretz. Al Yidei Yisroel. On the first day Yom Tov, Al Yidei Amamin. The first day Yom Tov, you're allowed to bury the dead through a goy, and the second day a Jew himself was allowed, the restrictions were lifted, a Jew himself was allowed to bury the dead on, is that true? On the second day?
They do the second day.
So the Hasidim do this. Right. Hasidim, they go in a car service, in a taxi, and they only...
Rabbi Nolman's wife died on Yom Tov, and they had on the second day, I forgot if it was Sukkos or Pesach, the funeral was the Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias on Sukkos was her funeral.
And they did it through Jews or Goyim. Who did everything?
I don't know.
Probably Goyim, they don't go that far.
I was married already, so I wasn't on the east side already.
I remember the halachas. But it's a fair Shulchan Aruch. It's your day, it's a fair Shulchan Aruch.
That was the Rabbi Pearl gave a whole shiur because by the Sakma that time, it doesn't go back a long time. When they had
it was a fire.
It was Friday Shabbos. And so they would have had the funeral the second day Yom Tov, but the second day Yom Tov was Shabbos, so the funeral wouldn't have been until Sunday.
Right.
So they did it on the Friday,
first day they had. Right.
So the Shiloh was, since the weather was in the 90s, they had the Hatzalah ambulances all along Williamsburg East. So he said, who said the Shiloh was, what kind of business is this to line up the ambulances to get ready for people to pass out in the heat? Because
you only need 10 people. Only 10 people are allowed to go and participate.
So they said they shouldn't have been out there. They had no right. So there was a lot of sitzuk about that.
Satan is very organized.
Yeah, but they caused a lot of Chil Shabbos.
Well, what they did now is
Chil Yom Tov Rishon, because they decided to do it. And who said the people should have gone out and lined the streets?
So what they do now is before every Yom Tov, they have announcements in the papers and they have announcements in the shul.
Well, there wasn't time to do it.
They have announcements that this Chas V'Chalila someone passed away. There's a
cover of sign. Well, had a right to be out there. They shouldn't have gone out.
But you don't
there.
Even call Hatzalah. You don't need Hatzalah.
But they had Hatzalah lining the
room. No, I'm saying for
it. So in case somebody would pass out from the heat, it was in the 90s. And it was hot, really. So they said so. So just don't go.
Okay, well, the main point is when a person is an oinin, his only thing that he has to do is take care of the dead, which basically means he's tamei. He's guaranteed to be in tamei to masmeis because he's exempt from every mitzvah solely that he can touch the dead body and deal with the issues. So therefore, if he eats bread during that period of time when he is an oinin, it's a guarantee the bread is bread that's tamei. The Beis Hamikdash is a place of tahara. So according to the parish of not the Mitsudos, according to other commentators, when it says in the pasuk here, kilechem oinim, it means the bread of a mourner, which is bread that is tomei, an onei, not an ovel. An ovel is not necessarily, an ovel, he has to wait 7 days to go to the whole prayer. It's also going to be the bread that's tomei, because once he became tomei mace for burying the dead, he's tomei for 7 days. But an onei, what?
Doesn't necessarily have to be.
But assuming the Ovel was Metame when he was an Oinain, so then the Tumah of the Animus will remain at least for 7 days because you have to have the Paraduma water. But at least during the time of Animus is where he's guaranteed to come in contact with the dead, and therefore he is Tame. So when he eats the bread is Tame as well because he contaminates the bread. And the Pasuk of here is saying exactly what the Pasuk of here says, that Hashem does not want your sacrifice, does not want your wine. Your sacrifice in Hashem's eyes is kilechem oinim lohem. It's as if the people are eating bread that is Tame, the bread of a mourner. Kol oichlov yitamahu. Anyone who eats this bread will also become tamei because the bread is tamei. Ki lachmam lenafsham. I think maybe you can go further because the bread was eaten lenafsham over a dead body, over a nefesh. It appears that if you do translate the word oinim as an onain, everything that follows in this pasuk pretty much follows from the laws of tuma. The bread is bread of an onin, which means it's tummy. Anyone that touches that bread will also become tummy because the bread is tummy. If you eat bread that's tummy, a person who's tar eats bread that's tummy, he also becomes tummy. That's a chiddush. Because normally bread, let's assume the bread is a rishain. If the mei savi avos, and someone who comes in contact with the dead is an af, and he touches bread, the bread is a rishain. If another person touches the bread, nothing happens. A person cannot become tummy from a rishain. You only can become tummy from an avatoma. However, if a person who is tar consumes bread that is a rishain, the act of consumption is more powerful, at least midrabanant, maybe midraisa, to make the person tummy. When you consume bread that's tummy, even if I touch the bread, I don't become tummy. A human being cannot become tummy, contract tummy from touching a rishon. But if you eat the bread and it becomes part of your body, then you do become tummy. So here the pasuk says the person is an oinein. He's definitely dealing with the dead, so he is tummy. When he eats bread, he is automatically contaminating his bread. And if he touches bread and makes the bread tummy and feeds it to someone else, and someone else eats that bread, they also become tummy through consumption. Why? Because this person has contaminated himself for a neshama, for a dead body. And therefore, being that he's tamei, he's not allowed to enter also into the Beis HaMikdash. So everything over here, we're talking about the Beis HaMikdash. Now Hashem says, don't even go near me, because I look at you people like mourners, people who are dealing with the dead. Therefore, your bread, you are lechem einim lahem kol echlav yitamo. Anyone that eats your bread becomes tamei through consumption, ki lachem l'nafshem, because the bread has been eaten over a dead body. And the dead body makes the person tamei, and the mela makes the bread tamei. And then when someone else eats the bread, welcome to America. Shalom aleichem. L'nafshem, lo yavai beis Hashem. Lo yavai beis Hashem. God bless America.
Welcome back.
This is Abdera.
Right now it's 5 a.m. flight.
Tomorrow?
Yeah.
Tomorrow, 5 a.m. Okay, clock is ticking.
So you have a receipt in there.
Is it curious that Rashi gives the main explanation as his second explanation?
So let's see Rashi. Now, before we go, we see Rashi. Just remember, not going to read inside, but the Mitzudos David does not learn like this. Okay, just keep this in mind. I told you this shot that it means mourner's bread. Mitzudos says no. The word oinim has nothing to do with mourning. It does not come from the word aninus, even though the aleph and the nun are the sherish of aninus. But there's another word called ona, to cause pain, to cause someone tsar. Oina has tevarim. Or generally means to cause someone suffering. And in that context, we're dealing with theft. The bread that you are eating has come through causing another human being pain. What kind of pain? By stealing his property. When you steal someone's property and they come to their home, I've been robbed. Everything's so that's a very painful experience. Anyone who's been robbed knows what it's like. It's not a good feeling when you realize, you know, suddenly your prized possession is no longer here. Does Hashem want you to bring to the Beis HaMikdash an animal? Now, then lechem doesn't mean bread. Lechem means karboni lachmi li'ishai. Every karbon is called Hashem's bread. Does Hashem want you to bring in the Beis HaMikdash an animal that has been come into your possession through theft, through causing another human being pain? Certainly not. So Hashem views this as disgusting. It's disgusting because the money has been gained illegally. Anyone that eats it becomes disgusting. Then the word yitamo is not literally to be translated as tumah. It's disgusting. And then according to the Mitzudos, the end of the pasuk won't make sense to say that we're dealing with the dead. Because we're not dealing with the dead. So then what does the pasuk mean? We learn yesterday. It means Hashem is now telling the people, it would have been better for you to take your animals and shech them outside the Beis HaMikdash and eat them for dinner as basar chulin, as ordinary meat, because you're not going to score any points by taking your expensive $1,000 animal and offering it to me on the Mizbeach as a carbon oila. I have no nachas ruach from your sacrifices, being that you are evildoers, you are sinners, you worship idols, you're not sincere, you only bring korbanos for ulterior motives. I do not derive any satisfaction. It's disgusting in my eyes, your korbanos. It's like you brought me animals that have been stolen and have caused other people pain. I don't want it. So what have you done? You've taken $1,000 and you've destroyed it. Better you have taken that $1,000 and you would have had a delicious dinner and serve some poor people, invited some poor people to sit around your table and enjoy the dinner. Ki lachmam l'nafsham. It would have been better that the bread has been consumed for your own satisfaction. And better, lo yavoi beis Hashem. Don't waste your time and resources to come to the Beis HaMikdash and offer me things which I have no desire to receive. Take it for yourself. Maybe you'll get lucky and you'll feed some poor people also. You'll have leftovers. You'll call a soup kitchen. They'll take the leftovers and they'll feed some poor people. And then you'll score some points by at least doing chesed even without kavana. Okay, so that's according to the Mitzvah stuff. But let's see Rashi. Rashi pasuk da lo yisku l'shoy nesech. That's simple. Do not pour wine. Lo yervu lo. Your sacrifices do not give Hashem satisfaction. It's not pleasant. Lo tehei min chasam arev olof. It's not going to be pleasant. You know, over here, for whatever reason, I don't know why Rashi says this. Rashi says that Yerevu refers to a mincha. He's dealing there with a meal offering. I guess because he takes the word lechem, it appears that Rashi takes the word lechem not to mean lach, a karboni lachmi, I just told you the word that the lechem either means, it either means bread mamish, or it means an animal sacrifice, and we are borrowing the word lechem for an animal sacrifice, like we find by the carbon tomid, karboni lachmi. Rashi doesn't say that. Rashi says that the word lechem refers to a karbon mincha. We're dealing with karbonos, but we're dealing with a karbon mincha, and we take the word lechem literally. Kilechem gezeilo haba, and when it says the word oinim, oinim means like the mitzudos gezeilo. I mean, Rashi, pass it down. Lo tehe minchasam, Rashi. Minchasam, your meal offerings are olav. Unless you want to tell me the word mincha is, should be loosely translated as a gift.
It's an offering.
All right, maybe you want to say there. Obviously, there are many perushim. What when it's not really clear what Rashi means, but Pashtus is a mincha since it says word lechem and it says word mincha in Rashi. I'm assuming Rashi means that lechem should be taken literally as a meal offering, and it's not going to taste good to Hashem. Kilechem oinim, it will be kilechem gezeila haba ayde koyach ve'oinim. Like comes koyach ve'oinim. Oinim is people extortionists. Davar acher. Then he says a second perush. Kilechem oinim. Oinim is the same sherish as aninos. Kilechem avelim shehu tamei. The soifai machiach. What's the soifai? Because the next words say kol echlov yitamo. Then we take it literally. Anyone who eats this bread becomes contaminated. Ki lachmam lenafsham. Now I thought Rashi would.
Doesn't Rashi usually put his primary explanation first, the secondary one second?
So how do you know?
He's proven. The second one is proven.
No, I don't think he means. He just means that those the people who want to interpret that when it says oinim means aninus, they prove it from the end of the pasuk. But that does not mean that Rashi personally felt that is correct. That is the primary interpretation. It just says v'soifay mechiach is those who want to translate the word oinim miloshon aninus will prove to you they are correct, because the next words are kol echlov yitamohu. The word yitamohu literally means contamination. According to Rashi's first interpretation, the word yitamohu has to be loosely translated as disgusting, not as contaminated. And then when I thought Rashi would say the proof comes from the words ki lachmam linafsham. Linafsham would simply mean a neshama, a dead body. Nafsham, that's the proof that we're dealing here with bread that is contaminated because it came in contact with a dead body. But that's not what Rashi himself says. Maybe Rashi is going back now to his original interpretation that when it says in the pasuk oinim means to extortion, then how will he explain the end of the pasuk lachmam lenafsham? So he says this is an instruction. It's exactly what the mitzvah stuff had said. Hashem is telling you, don't waste your money, don't waste your time on bringing me sacrifices which I derive no satisfaction. It would have been better and preferred for you to take this bread and this animal and eat it yourself. Roy hoyu zelohem lemachol v'loy lavo lebeis Hashem. Yishuv taking Rashi, as we say, that means before a mincha meal offering. Yishuv taking the meal offering and kept it and stayed home and had a good meal instead of bringing a carbon. Okay, so that's Rashi and the Mitzudos. Let's look here quickly at anything we wanted to say over here. No, I think that's pretty much.
At the end, he says.
Yeah.
What, that they should have just eaten it themselves, right?
Yeah.
But that's not mincha already. That's
why not mincha? Instead of bringing me bread, a mincha meal offering of bread, you bring that's lechem parsha, marcheshes, machavas, chalois, rekikin, four different types of menachas. Stay home.
You don't make those. You just bring.
You bring the flour. You bring the flour, right? So instead of bringing the ingredients. And bring it to the Beis HaMikdash and going through the entire procedure, stay home. Keep the flour and the oil at home and make for yourself a nice pizza pie and enjoy. Invite poor people to your home and have a good meal. Enjoy. Don't come and think you're a tzaddik by bringing me a carbon. Okay, now let's look maybe at the...
You're giving to poor people, still first.
something that's stolen or
it's... No, it's not stolen. That's exactly the point of the Mesudah. The Mesudah says that it's that in Hashem's eyes, it's disgusting like it's stolen. It's not stolen. Hashem is saying to the people, you're bringing me a sacrifice. Oh, very nice, thank you. And tomorrow, what are you doing? You're going to church to bow down to the idols. So do you think that when the sacrifice is coming from your money? It's the sacrifice...
So it's not to really sincere, so therefore...
Right. It's disgusting in the eyes of Hashem as if you would have brought me a sacrifice from stolen money. But it's not literally stolen money. He's not saying over here that it's actually stolen money. Well, it's hard-earned money. And you're taking your hard-earned money and you're bringing a korban or a mincha to Hashem. Hashem says, you just wasted $1,000 because I'm not going to give you any credit. You're not going to score any points with this sacrifice, even though it's not gezel. Technically speaking, everything is kedas uchedin. But being that you don't really believe in what you're doing, and the only reason why you're bringing sacrifice in the Beis HaMikdash is because of peer pressure, or because you want some favors from whatever the situation is, and it's insincere, or you think you can do all the averus and you want, and you'll come the next day and bring a karban and all is forgiven, you have a corrupt attitude in your service to Hashem, you're wasting your money. I'm not going to give you credit. So, and if you do proceed and bring me this karban, it's disgusting in my eyes, as if you would have robbed the bank and taken that money and brought me a karban. Did you actually rob a bank and take the money and bring a karban? No, you did not. You brought the karban from hard-earned money. But being that it's insincere, it does not count in my eyes for anything. Okay?
So if you steal money, but you donate all the money to the soup kitchen...
It's also no good. That's also no good. If you steal money, you give it to Sue, that's communism. Go live in Russia. What? No? Socialism.
I'm thinking about certain scandals.
Redistribution of the wealth.
Yeah, I remember when my boss put a sentence in the story on purpose about a Jewish nursing home owner who was honored at a
yeshiva dinner. What else?
Donation.
Yeah.
From the money that he ripped off the state. Yeah. And, you know, I didn't appreciate him waving that in front of me, but still, you know.
Really, I think in my Paris book, because he says a little cute story is that in Russia they were lining up at a soup kitchen for bread, for stale bread, long, long line. People didn't have what to eat. And for the stale bread, and right in front of where they're lining up, there was a statue of Stalin, big statue of Stalin, big bust, the head, body. The only thing missing on this massive statue were the feet. Okay, there were no feet on this massive statue. So as they're waiting online in the freezing cold Russian winter to get a piece of stale bread to survive, so they saw the statue. So they said, Stalin, why don't you have legs? How come they forgot to put legs on this massive statue? You know why? You know why? Because if you had legs, you would be waiting on line with us for some bread also.
Funny or unlucky. In Yiddish.
It's true. It is funny. You're right. You're saying good. All right. Redistribution of the wealth. Now let's look. Let's maybe look at the Malbim. The Malbim. Let's run to the Malbim. Let's see what it says over the Malbim. Pasuk Dal Lo Yischud LaHashem. Page 131. Lo Yischud LaHashem Yain Lo Levach Lo Yaviu Nisachim Shan Nisachim Him Tefelim El Hazevach. He explains. Not only will you no longer bring the Nisachim. Every single carbon, without exception, is accompanied by a meal offering. And the pouring of the libations, the pouring of wine. Sometimes we forget about that. We think when you bring a carbon, you just bring an animal. No, there's no such thing. When you bring a carbon, you have to bring with it a meal offering, a mincha, and yayin. And the yayin is poured on the foundation of the mizbeach, and the meal offering is given, is offered like a regular meal offering.
You
so
have to bring it with you, or they, or the Quran.
Well, it appears there were different periods of time in history of how the system worked. It appears that in the best times, in the good times, I honestly, the best, but in the way the Mishnayos describes it in their times is they didn't trust your kashrus. They didn't let you just come and bring your own wine and your own own flour. Who says it's kosher? Even the animal. Who says it's tahar, and who says that everything is done kedasu chadin? Or who? So you buy a ticket. You come to the Beis Hamikdash and there's a booth. And you say, what are you? They say, what are you here for? I'm here to bring a carbon chatas. Okay, carbon chatas. So here is the ticket. Go here to get your animal. Go here to get your mincha.
Pay first.
You pay, right? Of course, you pay first. And you get the ticket, and you go and you get the ticket, and you get, they give you the flour, and they give you the wine. And the Beis HaMikdash, they took care to make sure that everything is kosher. Now that appears to be a modern innovation. But in the olden days, going probably back originally, it wasn't like that. They may have had a service that if a person did not have flour and wine and animals, so you can purchase there in the Beis HaMikdash. But if you want to bring your own flour, you want to bring your own wine, so be it. You have a right. We trust you. Everyone is trusted, and it has more meaning to you. It's your vineyard. I made the wine myself. It's my field. I planted the grain. It's my sweat and blood. I want to bring this to Hashem. So it depends on the period of time of how things operated, but the Mishnayos and the Gemara seems to present that in later times it was a system. You don't just come and bring whatever you want. Like today, everything and all different types of things, you come and the Beis HaMikdash, they provide for you. You just have to pay cash or credit.
That's where the expression God we trust came.
Why?
God we trust, all others pay cash.
All others pay cash.
First time you showed
up. All right, let's see what's over here. So the Yayin, the Nesachim, and the Mincha were Tofel. They were subordinate. That's not the primary part of the Karban. The primary part is the animal, not the wine and the Mincha. So this Pasuk is telling us, not only will you not bring animals, not only will HaKadosh Baruch Hu reject, not only will you not bring the tofel, the things that are not important, that are not that is important, but things that are not primary, you're not going to even bring what is significant. Loy levad shelo yaviu in the Malbim pasuk dalim page 131 in the bottom. Loy levad shelo yaviu nisachim shanisachim him tefelim el azevach. Ki gam lo yeervu loy zivchehem. The animals will also not be accepted. Shelo yikabel mehem gam zivachim shehazvachim hayu nikraim. Here the Malbim is learning. I try to tell you, not like Rashi. I try to tell you. Rashi says it says minchasam that the zivchehem are going to be. You know that can't be. When it says zivchehem, it has to mean a sacrifice. You can't say that lechem oinim is kalechem gezela oy layervu lolo tehe minchasam. Okay, I don't know. It says ziv. I don't really know. Maybe what Rashi means is you have to put a comma after the word ye'ervu lo. Lo yishu l'Hashem yayin, period. V'lo ye'ervu lo, period. Zivchehem kelechem oinim lohem. You have to manipulate the trup. That's not the way the trup appears to read the pasuk, right? But if I'm correct that when Rashi says, let's just make believe that when Rashi says the word minchasam, he literally means a meal offering, then you cannot connect the word zivchehem to the word ye'ervu lo. Because a zevach is a sacrifice, and a mincha is a meal offering. There's no sacrifice with regard to a meal offering. Then, l'chayra, the way you would read the pasuk is break the pasuk into three parts and ignore the trup. Lo yischu l'Hashem yayin. Number one, you're not going to pour wine before Hashem. Number two, v'lo ye'ervu lo. Your meal offering will not be tasty, will not be sweet before Hashem. And the word ye'ervu lo maybe is only a term which you can apply to bread. Maybe the word ye'ervu is not the proper word you can use in reference to an animal. An animal, we use the word anachas, it's nachas. Sweetness, do we ever find in Tanakh the word ye'ervu, orev, in regard to an animal? I don't know, you have to study the whole Tanakh to see if there's such a concept. But I'm trying to suggest that it's not the correct word. If it's not the correct word, then this expression is an independent sentence, which means that your meal offering will not be tasty, before Hashem. Then we read the next words. Zivchehem, your sacrifice, the animal sacrifice, will be in the eyes of Hashem, kilechem oinim, as something disgusting, as theft, or as something contaminated. So then you're actually dealing with the three different parts of the pasuk, of the karban, the nesachim, the mincha, and the zevach. Maybe that's really what Rashi meant. But the Malbim clearly does not say that. The Malbim clearly says that the word Zivchehem should be connected to the word Ye'ervu Lo, should be as the trop. Well, I don't know, it's not necessarily the trop. It doesn't really fit according to the Malbim either. The trop is a little bit vague according to everyone because a segol is a mafsek. Munach, you have a zarka, munach ye'ervu lo. On the word lo, there's a segol. That's called a segol on the trop of the tanin, which really is, as far as I know, is a mafsek, but it's the end of the sentence. And then when it says zivchehem,
end of a phrase.
And then zivchehem is an independent statement. So then, but the Malbim says, no, put the two together, read it together, v'lo ye'ervu lo zivchehem. He reads those four words together. Okay, let's go further. Ki, and how does he know this? How does it? And then he said, and then the pasuk explains that lechem oinim, because that the lechem over here does not mean bread, and that part of the expression is referring to an zevach, because a zevach is karboni lachmi. An animal is called in the Torah bread. Kishazvachim oinim nikram lechem la Hashem kmo shekasev ki ishei. But their sacrifices of the people that living at this time who are worshipping idols will not be called the Lechem Hashem. Hashem will reject it. Why? He is learning like Rashi's second interpretation. The word oinim means a mourner. Al meisehem, over their dead, she'oichlem su'udas havra'ah. So he is in here something more than what we learned until now. I told you until now that why would it be called according to Rashi lechem oinim? Because an oinin is a person who's preoccupied with burying his dead. So he's busy, he's touching the dead. It's a process. It's a long process until they bury the dead. In the meantime, he is tameh. He says, no, the dead has been buried. They're buried, the dead is buried. And now they have returned back from the cemetery. They've come home. And there's something called a su'udas havra. Today, for some reason, you don't see people doing this.
Sure.
There's a special brichas hamazon. I've never seen any machzor, or any, in even the art school, the RCA manuals, and the art school book. They have now. Because in Shulchan Aruch there is a special nusach for birchas hamazon. Right. It's not the ordinary. That's the way they said. There's a special nusach. There's a special nusach of birchas.
Right?
No. The bracha itself, not just the harachamans. It's in Shulchan Aruch. The special nusach for birchas hamazon, and in rachim, the same way you have a special. For example, on Tisha B'Av, when it comes to the bracha of Vili Rishalayim Ircha, so what do you do to the bracha of Vili Rishalayim Ircha? You add in, you change the nusach. You take out the whole Rachim Na, the whole Vili Rishalayim Ircha, Brachamim Tashuv, and we replaced it in the Shemona Esrei with a whole new bracha. Nachem Hashem Elokeinu Esaveli Tzion Yerushalayim, and we conclude the bracha Baruch Ato Hashem Menachem. Tzion and whatever it says, it's a whole new nusach. It's a whole new nusach. It's not an addition. When do you ever have something like that? Never. You have Yom Tov Shmona Esrei or Shchodesh Shmona Esrei, but during the weekday, don't go play games. You have a nusach of Shmona Esrei. If you have to say Yalla V'Yavo, you say Yalla V'Yavo. If you have to say Al Hanisim, so you eat Al Hanisim. If you want, you want to say a Yehiratzon, so you have a Yehiratzon. You want to say Anenu, you have Anenu. You want to even add a new bracha. Anenu, Hashem, okay, Nabiyom, Tzom, Tani, Seinu. You add a new bracha. When do you ever have in halacha to take a bracha of the Shmona Esrei and remove it, and replace it with a different bracha? That's 100% unique. This is Birchas. Oh, you do have. You have over here. Oh, very good. Very nice. Stand corrected. I stand corrected, okay? Rabbi Yisrael, I made a mistake. They actually do have it. So this fellow was wrong. What? No, this is... They don't have it. They don't... You say, Yoyer? How could they not have it? If they have it here, they have to have it here. Cannot be. Cannot be. This is much older. This is the first... This is the original.
They had Charata.
Can't be they had Charata. This is the original. It's talking very interesting. Exactly, Mom, they actually have it over here. So let's... It's the very thing is over here... What?
No,
Mom is not there?
No, I looked also.
Not in this
room. We both looked independently.
I remember every time a Chacham was sitting Shiva, and he had a from a Shulchan Aruch, and he was benching from the Shulchan Aruch. He says, I can't, I don't know why is it that there's no Siddur. It's the fair Shulchan Aruch.
I've seen it, that's why I...
There's no Siddur, there's no... And they talk, they do have it. They talk, so why they... So why doesn't... The Hebrew Siddur doesn't have it? It doesn't make sense. So... This is a very interesting thing. If we would bench on Tisha B'Av, we would probably say something like this. But we don't, because Tisha B'Av, you fast. But no, you go bus to the roif. You don't do special. That's a general rule. You're supposed to fast. If a person can't fast, we don't make a new Shulchan Aruch for that person.
You still
have to bench. Yeah, 100%. But you bench regular benching. Like a person on Yom Kippur is a big shah, do you make Kiddush? Let's say a person has to eat on Yom Kippur. Do you make, I don't remember all the halos, but I don't think so, right? I don't remember. I don't think so. I don't think you make Kiddush. Because the Shulchan Aruch was made for what's supposed to be done. If a person can't follow because of whatever the unusual circumstances, okay. So you there are exceptions. But we don't make a new Shulchan Aruch for the exceptions. So Tisha B'Av, we happen to fast. And that's, why do you fast? Why do you have to fast Tisha B'Av? Since when is an Avel, there's no halach an Avel fast. An Avel is fast. An Avel eats. An Onain eats. An Avel eats. When you go to war, then there's a Shaila, should you fast? Going to war is a Zman where really, really you should fast. Today, in Eretz Yisrael, the Chayolim, the Gedolim, they acknowledge that it's taka a Chiddush, is that Chayolim today, who are defending Eretz Yisrael, should not fast. And where is it going to get nafkamina? On a fast day. If it's tiny says, it's a dalit tzaymas. So why shouldn't the soldiers fast? The religious soldiers, or who would fast? They would follow, they whatever the rabbanim would tell them they would do. So why don't they fast? Why don't they fast? Because they need their strength. Okay, so maybe that's a good idea when it comes to a regular day, when it's not. Because the truth is, on a regular day, when it's not a tiny sibur, if you look in the Rambam, you look in the Poskim, if I'm not mistaken, when you're in danger in Milchama, the proper thing is to fast. Oh, you're going to tell me, but you're going to be weak and you're not going to be top of your game. No, not being physically top of your game will be offset by the siyata d'shmaya that you will gain by fasting and doing tshuva. There's such a concept. Don't be on top of your game. Your reflexes will not be 100%. They'll only be 80% because you're tired and you're weak. But being that you're fasting and your kavana is l'shem shemayim, you will gain siyata d'shmaya that will far compensate for what you're lacking in not being 100% strong because you're fasting. So really, that's what should be. Now, for some reason, I don't know why, we don't do that today. Why don't we do that today? Niskadnu Hadoros, a person who is defending Eretz Yisrael, for some reason, all the Gedol Yisrael, no, not today. Today you eat. You have to be 100%. It's a Chiddush. It's even a bigger Chiddush is that when the day is a Yom Tzom. Let's say there are soldiers on the front line on Shavuos B'Tammuz or on Tzom Gedalia or on Tainus Esther. So then you really should be fasting. The halacha today across the board is that on Yom Kippur, the soldier should not be fasting if they're engaged in combat.
So you mentioned recently that they did fast because it was more spiritual.
Right.
But then like now, it's a different...
Why is it different? Halacha is... So if the people are not going to ask the question, so they're not asking the question. But today there are many... Shomrei Torah u'mitzvahs, tzaddikim, people who are ma'aser nefesh l'Hashem, who serve in the army, who defend Eretz Yisrael, and they'll be very happy to fast. I have no doubt about it. Right. There are people that would be very, very happy, adarabah, to go, if they're sent to go in the front line combat, they would fast. Yet, all the G'dolei Hadar, without exception, have instructed them, do not dare, don't you dare fast. Eat, even on Yom Kippur, eat. It's a chiddush. It's a chiddush. Why is it different today? I guess today you have to understand the psak of the G'dolei Hadar is that things have changed. That requires thinking about an understanding of why indeed it's different. Now, Tisha B'Av, it's an incredible chiddush that we fast. What is Tisha B'Av? Tisha B'Av really is not a day of mourning. What do we do on Tisha B'Av? You sit on the floor. You don't wear shoes. You do everything. You don't bathe for 7 days. If it's technically, you don't bathe on Tisha B'Av. You're not allowed to bathe. You're not allowed to wash. You're doing everything on Tisha B'Av exactly what a mourner does. What a mourner does. So Tisha B'Av basically is a communal day of avelos. Do you ever see anywhere in Shulchan Aruch that an avel is obligated to fast? No! A soldier, maybe, yes, is obligated to fast. That's a yard side is a minah. I don't think it's a chiv. There's no chiv to fast. There's no chiv to fast on a yard side. That's a different topic. There's mitzvah tzaddikim, there's a yard side.
No, but I'm saying that the
Tisha B'Av
is yard side. It's not the avail issue.
No, it is avelos. The fact that we observe the laws of avelos, we sit on a low chair, we don't wear shoes, we don't bathe. It's avelos. There's nowhere, anywhere in the entire Torah where an ovel is obligated to fast. A soldier, yes. But an ovel, no. So why do we fast on Tisha B'Av? It's a very tough question. We already fasted on Shavuos B'Tammuz. So shouldn't that be sufficient for fasting over the Churban of Yerushalayim? What? All of them, right? Asar B'Teves, all and Shem Gedalia. So we're already fasting 3 of the days. Why do we also have to fast? So the Chazal basically saying is no, that Tisha B'Av are 2 dinim. There are 2 dinim in Tisha B'Av. It's a din of Avelus, and it's also a day of Teshuvah. It's a day of Teshuvah, and Teshuvah demands that we fast. It's a very complex day. Chazal don't normally bundle together different themes. Chazal made life very, very simple, generally speaking. You don't mix together holidays. You don't mix together themes, emotions. If the day is a day of avelus, enough. Don't mingle with teshuva. If the day is a day of teshuva, then don't bring avelus into the picture. An ovel does not fast. Someone who does teshuva is not in avelus. And yet Tisha B'Av, the 2 of them come together, which is a chiddush. It's not something which is normal. Why you should put 2 things together? Now, therefore, if we would take away the fasting and they would only be what really should be on Tisha B'Av, and we would recite Birchas Hamazon, would we recite a special Birchas Hamazon? Absolutely. Why? Because just like in the Shemona Esrei, when it comes to V'Lirushalayim Ircha, we take it out. We rip it out of the Shemona Esrei and we replace it with a new nusach, a naya nusach, to reflect upon the avelos of Yerushalayim. Well, guess what? In Birchas Hamazon, when a person ovel, there's a whole new nusach. When it comes to when you come to the bracha uvenei Yerushalayim, when you come to uvenei Yerushalayim in Birchas Hamazon, you don't say it. And what do you say instead? Nache Hashem Elokeinu Esavel Yerushalayim V'Esavel Mahamis Ablam Be'Evel Hazeh Nachne Me'Evlam V'Samche Mi'Yaganim. Okay, it's a whole new nusach. A private person. No, only the Sudas Havra. Only the first meal that is served to a mourner when he returns from the cemetery. And then you conclude a special Menachem Tzion B'Yerushalayim. And then, guess what? The next bracha is also a whole new bracha. It's even better than Shemona Esrei. Shemona Esrei, you only replace one bracha. In benching, in Avel, the Sudas Havra has two brachas. The Alkel Avinu, Malkenu, Adirenu, Barenu, Goalenu, Yoitzrenu, Kedoshenu, Kedoshenu, Akoiv, Re'enu, Re'eshul goes on. And then it goes on over here to say, Hamelech HaChai, Hatoy V'Hametev Kel Emes, Dayan Emes, and goes through a whole new nusach. And it concludes, V'chol Tov, Mikol Tov, Lomali Chashrenu, it's a whole new bracha. These two brachas, and also the beginning, the Rabbi Sani Varech is also different.
When we annoyed that you don't put a resume together.
Yeah, no, so it says that you do.
I have it. The Sfaradim say,
yeah, I have it on an article also. This Ashkenazim. This is Ashkenazim.
No, it's only for Sfaradim.
This, but this over here, this is an Ashkenazi sin. I'm sorry. The following special version.
We need people who need an English sit.
Look at the English instructions. The following special version of Birchas HaMazon for a house of mourning is rooted in the Talmud and Shulchan Aruch. However, it has not always been practiced universally. See the Be'er HaGoyla? Maybe that's why. A surprise. So, I've never seen it done. I mean, you know, the person's not only around. The Avelim come back from the cemetery, they go home, and then they have a meal. And the meal, the
neighbors bring it.
The meal, you're not supposed to eat your own food. Someone else is supposed to provide you with food. Not, that's the halacha. Why is that so? Because an Avel is too distraught for him to prepare his own food. Someone else has to provide the food for him. And it seems here that they do have a mezumah. I mean, that's what it seems to say over here. I don't know. I don't know the halachas.
Well, in the Gemara, they had a suda after the funeral.
It's not like Tisha B'Av.
It was a big suda.
The sudas of Afsekes before Tisha B'Av. You're right, yes, a good question.
They
have
wine also, don't you bring
You bring wine. They drank 10 cups of wine.
They said that's enough.
10 cups of wine.
Drunk, so they put a limit.
They drank 10 cups of wine at this meal.
They realized it got out of hand.
So they stopped. Because wine is meant to enhance the mood. It gets you where you want to go. If you want to be merry and happy, happy hour, so then the wine will get you where you want to go. It will make you happy. If you want comfort, it will help you reach a state of comfort. Wine itself is not something which automatically gives joy. Not true. Wine is a tool to assist in bringing your mind to reach the emotion which you desire. You're in control, not the wine. I want to be in a state of comfort. The wine's going to help me get there.
Well, what can make you more sad, though?
No, if you want to be sad, the wine, you're right, the wine will make you more sad. But if you want comfort, then the wine will help you achieve comfort. If you want to be happy, it will make you happy. If you want to get mad, so the wine, if you want to go to jail, it'll get you there also. Okay, wherever you want to get, that's where they drank the wine at the Sudas Havra, 10 cups. And it could be the 10 cups were accompanied by I don't know. I know how it worked. I don't know the details. So 10 cups of wine. Problem was, like today, Niskadnu Hadoyres. People they're not in control of themselves. And what happened? The wine, it turned into a big joke. The wine led them in the wrong way. Therefore, Chazal were mevatel. They canceled. Like Pesach night. Okay, right? So at Pesach night, we drink 4 cups of wine. Why are we drinking 4 cups of wine? What's the goal? The goal is the 4 cups of wine are supposed to get us in the mood of redemption. Okay, we're supposed to, it's not just, okay, drink 4 cups of wine, and you know, it's not the goal. The goal, this is a very famous chazal, the famous var, is why the chazal institute wine to commemorate the 4 lashonis of Geula. Why didn't chazal institute 4 kezesim of matzah? 4, you name it, do something 4 times. Eat something 4 times, drink something 4 times, and this is a very popular art, is because wine has a cumulative effect. If you just go drink 4 cups of water, so 4 cups of water. I have 4 cups of water in my stomach. I'm not in, and my frame of mind has not changed. But if you drink 4 cups of wine, each cup of wine builds upon the previous cup. There is a cumulative effect. We Chazal Masak and 4 cups of wine by the cities because the 4 cups of wine are there to get us to where we need to be. Our minds need to be in a certain frame of mind. What is the frame of mind? Emuna. Okay, the seder really all is about one thing only, emuna, about children, chinuch, habanim, emuna. It's about pretty much those things. I mean, that's really what it all comes down to, emuna, and instilling emuna in children. If you want to get your mind, emuna is something in the mind. It's very interesting. Emuna is purely a matter of the mind. And if you want to get your mind into that groove of emuna, you need a stimulant. You need a stimulant. And the stimulant is going to be wine, because wine has the cumulative effect, building one upon the other. And Avel had the cumulative effect of having 10 cups of wine to bring him into a state of comfort that was way over the top, and Chazal abolished it. But here, what the Malam over here is saying is that we're dealing over here with the Sudas Havroha. And the Sudas Havroha was a special meal after they came back from burying the dead. It was the very first meal. And that very first meal is very, very, very special in Halacha, has special Halachas. At Kedei Kach, that there's a special Birchas HaMazon that is to be recited, recorded in the Gemara, recorded in Shulchan Aruch. You have to go to the Ber Halacha, see what it says over there, why we don't do it with Zman Hazeh. And at least the article, English edition, does record it. And the Malbum is coming to Shtel Tzu, to this Suda called the Sudas Havra. What does he say? And then also, he's supposed to eat eggs. He's supposed to eat hard-boiled eggs at the Sudas Havra.
Peeled eggs?
Peeled eggs?
Yes, so you shouldn't have to peel it.
They should peel it for you.
It
should really be peeled for you.
He brings a minhag here that other people should join the Suda.
Yeah.
Wash, make a mitzi, and give the bread to the Avon, not to feed it themselves.
They should be here with someone else.
But they make the mitzi.
Who makes the mitzi?
The person's washing.
The person's one person makes for everyone.
No.
Not the Avon.
No, the Avon makes the mitzi, but yeah. People are joining. Make
people
a,
also
wash,
should join.
Make a mitzi, break the bread.
Break the bread. Give the bread. But the other makes his own hamayitzi.
Yeah.
Okay. So different minhagim. It's not a light thing. This thing called, we don't see it. Okay. When I sat with my parents, I didn't have a sudas havra. I didn't.
What time did you come back?
I don't remember. What?
They went to Israel.
My siblings, two of my siblings went. One of my siblings went. One was there, but I didn't go. So we came back from the airport. That would be the zman to have a sudas havra. When I come back from the airport.
No,
the truth. I take it back. The truth is the Rabbi Hartman, the Chevra Kadisha. See, he knew his wife is friends with my sister, so he actually went and he brought over Sudas Havra. Can you imagine the funeral director? What?
There's no chiyuv to eat it.
Why not?
That's what you say. If you eat, your first suda has to be from other people.
Yeah.
Sudas Havra.
If you eat it?
If you want to fast until the night, so it's already the second day.
Why would you want to fast?
Some people have a lot.
They want to fast. Yeah, it was a din for the neshama. I hear what you're saying. I don't know. Okay. But I've never seen any. If you're not part of the family, you're not going to be there to see what's going on. Okay, but coming back from the cemetery, there's a special meal with halachas, and there's even unbelievable a nusach of Birchas HaMazon, and you can bet that if we were to eat on Tisha B'Av, like we really are supposed to eat on Tisha B'Av, really is no reason not to eat on Tisha B'Av, you can be sure the same way we have a new nusach for Shmoneh Esrei, there will be a new nusach. Then the Birchas HaMazon on Tisha B'Av would be this nusach. So now my question is: so why then, when you daven mincha, or you daven when an avil, the first Shmoneh Esrei, the avil davens, why doesn't he say the nusach of Shmoneh Esrei like on Tisha B'Av? Right? Why not?
Right.
The same way. Look
maybe
at the.
Like he answered before, it has to be
a since the tzibur is not avilus, so you can't do it. And benching, you think benching was made for the yochid. You're saying a chiddush thing. Birchas HaMazon was designed for the individual. Tzfila was composed for the tzibur. So generally, when they deal with a private mourning, then it's one person or a family of individuals. It's not a tzibur. So therefore, Chazal did not tell you to daven a Shmoneh Esrei, which is for the tzibur. That's going to be different than the tzibur. But Birchas HaMazon, which was made for the individual, so then Chazal made a special nusach. It's very good answer. I like your answer. It's a good answer. Okay, so let's see over here. So this is like back to the Mamma. Mamma says that When it says here, Kim Kilechem Oinim Lohem, Him Dem Kilechem Shaychem Hashem, says that, you know what your carbonus are like to me, Hashem? When you bring a carbon to me in the Beis HaMikdash, and you serve me your meal of the carbon, in my eyes, it's like you're serving me a Sudas Havra. Isn't that amazing, Pshat and Pasek? Like you're saying to me, Hashem, goodbye. You're no longer our God. It's like Hashem is gone. You're gone, you've gone off to a new world. You have no connection with us anymore, and we're going to serve you, Hashem, the Sudas Havra, because our relationship is dead. That's really, it seems like a very powerful perush is injecting into the pasuk. We're serving Hashem, the Sudas Havra, we're saying goodbye to Him. Kilechem, Heim Dem, Kilechem, Sho'echlem, Ho'inim, Al Meseyem, Sho'echlem, Sudas Havra, Mishalachedim, Vechein Hashlamim, Sho'echlu, Lo Yushalme Simcha. You're going to bring in a zevach of simcha, a shalme simcha. Rak, it's going to be sudas havra. V'tachas asher lechem oinim v'tachas asher lechem oinim yitma al yideicha oinin. And because they're bringing this bread, the bread, it's a sudas havra, and everyone there at this meal is tomei, because they just came back from burying the dead, from coming in contact with the dead. So when they touch the bread becomes tomei. Shutame lenefe shumatame es halechem. Lechem shal azvachem shalohem kol oichlov yitamo halechem yitamo kol oichlom oiso. Because what do you do with the shlam? A shlam was meant to be served to many people. When you bring a carbon shlamim, you call all of your friends, come, I have lots of meat, free meal. Come, a free meal. And they all come. You're serving your friends bread that's tamei. Being that the person who's sacrificing the animal, he's considered in Hashem's eyes as an onein, and therefore he's tamei. So when he touches the bread, when he touches the meat, he makes the meat tamei. So when he serves this meat now to his chaverim, who he has invited to come and participate, he's serving them bread or meat that is tamei. Which, if they the people, it's not the right thing to go and serve people meat that's tamei, even if it's not a carbon. Okay, now next words, two more lines. We'll finish. Kilachmol nafsham ki hu alechem shoichlum al nafsham. This is how I translate the pasuk originally. We learn over here according to Rashi, and according to the Mitzudos, they both said the same thing: as Hashem is giving you instructions. They learned oinim means it's disgusting. It's as if the money has been stolen and used to purchase sacrifice. And the end of the pasuk is thus giving you instructions. Better you don't waste your money on me and take your money and eat a good meal. Linafsham means ki lachmam linafsham. Nefesh means your desire. Nefesh always means your chefetz, your desire, your will. Better you take the meat and eat it for yourself. But the Malbum says you don't have to say that. If you're going to learn like me, like Rashi's second interpretation, that when it says oinim, oinim means aninus, then the word nafsham can be translated literally a dead body, a nefesh. A nefesh means the departure of the neshama. Ki hu alechem sh'oichlem ala nafsham ha-mesa, sh'nafsham mesa begufam, v'im oichlem ha-zevach, then their nefesh is dead within them, and they're eating the zevach, lechem havra, al misas atzmam. Also here he says, like I told you, they're saying goodbye to Hashem. He's saying the hasudas havra, he really, you know, he knocks the nail in over here. He knocks the nail in the coffin over here. Literally. The Malbum is that Hashem says, this carbon that you bring really is a sudas havra on yourself. V'al kein lo yovei beis Hashem ki lechem tamehu. Very powerful idea that you basically you're mourning your own death. That's how you have so little faith in Hashem when you bring a sacrifice, it's like you're burying yourself. I died. I have no hope in you, Hashem, that you can do anything for me. So the zevach is a sudas havra over the death of myself. Okay, whatever that means. He says in the pasuk, famous popular Jewish, Loisokim l'chom matzeva asher sonei Hashem Elokecha. What does it mean literally? Do not erect an altar, an avodah zarah, an altar for which you're going to bring upon sacrifices to idols, Asher Sonei, which Hashem hates. Hashem hates Avodah Zarah. Asher Sonei Hashem Lokecha. How do the Darshanim interpret this pasuk? Don't give up hope. Don't put up a matseva in your lifetime. As long as you're alive and kicking, there's hope. There's hope that you could accomplish something worthwhile in this world. Don't, in your lifetime, erect for yourself, while your heart is still beating, erect for yourself your own tombstone. A matseva means a tombstone. So don't go give up hope. Don't say life is over. There's nothing left for me to accomplish. Don't do that. Don't erect for yourself a metaphorical matseva. Asher soni Hashem Elokech. Hashem hates that attitude. If Hashem wanted you dead, you'd be dead. If Hashem allows your heart to be beating, it means there's something for you still to do here. And figure it out. Accomplish something so you'll take with you to the next world some type of accomplishment. This is the Jewish. That's exactly what he's saying over here. When you go and you bring a carbon to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, let not the carbon come with an attitude, Hashem, you can't help me. Hashem, you're powerless. And there's nothing you can do for me. And you know, when I bring the sacrifice, it's like I'm now going to eat the Sudas Havra over my... I'm saying goodbye to you, Hashem. We now divorce. Yeah, we're on separate terms. Where's your Sefer Krisus? Yeah, you're not... Don't go...
You live later, and he said that's... You know,
don't celebrate your separation by the Goyim. I once read out of the New York Times, by the Goyim, they have parties, divorce parties.
Right, yeah.
They get divorced, and they all come together, the families come together. Oh, that's it. This kufa in our life is over. we can't come together. What? You're right. You're saying you're making a good point. No, it's true. You're true. True. By divorce, that's the minute. The minute you try, I heard this from the rabbi who taught us on the rabbi school, who gave us the whole rundown on divorce. Yeah, that's the minute. The minute you show is the same mazel tov. But
you're about to hurt too.
It means now you have a new, now, you know, separate. Now you go on your, you know, it's to go in your separate ways. What? Things should be good, right. You put this behind you, put this, but the Goyim have abused that concept, where it's a, where, not by everyone, but you go on, I'm sure you can Google this online, I remember many years ago, I read this article in the New York Times, this very popular divorce parties. Whether friendly, not friendly, so make a party out of it, and you invite the families, and you serve liquor. You serve liquor and food, and they have a party.
Both families got together.
Yeah.
The two divorced parties.
No, you know who makes it? The Shviga makes.
Whatever makes, whoever makes, whoever wants to come comes. So then they make. That's ridiculous because that already sets a tone. That sets the tone that marriage was never meant to be. Permanent. That's kafira to say such thing. Marriage is meant to be. Divorce. It used to be in America that divorce is a crime. You're not allowed to get divorced. It has to be a course. Today there's something called no fault. Not every state allows it. Not every state allows a no fault divorce. There has to be a legitimate reason for a divorce, and you have to go to a judge. You have to go to a judge. The judge should paskin that I give you permission to get divorced. And if the judge does not give permission, then the state will not recognize the divorce because it's illegal to have a no-fault divorce. That has changed today. Many, if not all, states today allow what they call a no-fault divorce. Now, what does halacha say about that? And halacha, if two people come to the rabbi and say, everything is fine and good, we can do better. Each one of us feels we can do better. So does halacha, is the Bezdin allowed to proceed? Are they allowed to? Again, is the Maisa Bezdin. They both want.
How did Bezdin get involved?
Because Bezdin, it's a Maisa Bezdin. A get is called a Maisa Bezdin. No, it's not a private matter. Kiddushin, marriage is a private matter. Marriage, two people technically can go in front of witnesses and don't have to get in Bezdin involved. A divorce is a maisei bezdin. It has an afkamina. A divorce, as far as I know, can only be given by day. Because any maisei bezdin must be done by day. There are exceptions. Emergency divorces, when it's aguna, aguna shilas, there are exceptions. But generally, a maisei bezdin is only by day. The truth is, really, many want to say is that a kiddushin, it's not mikra hadin, but kiddushin, marriage, is also a maisei bezdin. And that's what it used to be until modern times. Marriages were only done by day.
You say Kedas Moshe Yisrael.
Kedas is also who's the Masader Kedushin. The Masader Kedushin is the Shaliach Bez. What in the Masader Kedushin? Who is he? In the Masader Kedushin, the Gemara is not Masader Kedushin. In the Gemara, a man goes in front of a woman, in front of two witnesses, and he says, Harayad Nekudeshesli, Vizehu. You need a Masader Kedushin. Then you want the brachas. So the chuppah, the shev brachas, you need 10 people. You need 10 people for the brachas. You don't need a Masader Kedushin. It's a new thing.
Right.
So it's more than that. In a chnami, that's the way we perceive it. Because call me she'ena yodeh betiv gidn v'kedushin lo yeh esik imahen. But it's more than that. It's really a representative of the court. In Shulchan Aruch, it's been accepted that even though technically you do not need a bezdin to get married, a man can get marry a woman in front of anyone. Chazal have instituted that a person should not get married privately. The bezdin should oversee the marriage, and the way the bezdin oversees the marriage is they send a representative of the court, the Masader Kiddushin. The Masader Kiddushin represents the bezdin. Now you don't need a bezin. You don't need three people. You don't need a bezin. A get, you do need a bezin. A get, you'd have to have. I'm not saying you have to have three people. You have to have dayanim. But a kedushin is a semi. It's a semi maisa bezin, and that's why it used to be. It was only done by day. Today we're not machped on that at all. You don't need three people. You don't need three people to oversee it, and you can do that. You can do it at night, but we still preserve a token fulfillment that it is a Maisa Bezdin by having a Masader Kiddush. At Kedekach, that it's a Maisa Bezdin is that it used to be the minig, even if you're the biggest Talmud Chacham, you don't just say Harei At, you repeat. The Masader Kiddush says, Harei, you say Harei At, Nikudeshes, to show that the words that you are using to be Makadish the Isha are being presented to you by the Bezdin. You just don't go do this on your own. We don't do that today. Today, all this has fallen to the wayside. Why? I don't know. But we don't do all this today. But a get, we still do. A get is still considered a maisa bezdin.
Does smicha require bezdin?
What?
Smicha, does it require bezdin or edim?
No. You know, there are different smicha. Types. There are different types of bate dinim. We don't, b'zman hazeh, there's no smicha b'zman hazeh. There's no real smicha b'zman hazeh. And even if many matters like this, of a bezdin, you don't necessarily,
usually
they
the
do...
Is
no, not today. No. Not today. No. Not today. No. Maybe years ago. Not anymore today. Today smicha is not very popular today. Why? I don't know why. That's how it is. And many Rosh Yeshivas say don't have smicha. Many Rabbanim don't have smicha today.
Right.
Many Rabbanim today. Many Rabbanim in Lake, we didn't have smicha. They never got an official smicha. So why were they hired? Why were they hired? Who's officially
licensed?
It's coming back. There's no doubt. Eretz Yisrael smichas is alive and strong. The Rabbanut, it's a big deal there. Eretz Yisrael, it's a much, much, much bigger issue. You have to have smicha. You can't get away with it because since the Rabbanut gives smicha, so the Haredi world who doesn't want to acknowledge the Rabbanut, they also have to have smicha. But America, it's a hefkevelt. But today, it was like that, then for the last 30 years. Smicha was very strong until about 30 years ago, and then it dipped pretty bad. Smicha became very insignificant, and now it's coming back very strong. Now there's no question about it, because since there's such a ribuy in Torah, to prove yourself that you're head and shoulders above everyone else, in the Haredi world, smicha has come back with a ferocity. And there's definitely, today it's alive and kicking today, and it's getting much stronger. All right, so that concludes.
So, yeah.